Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the mark Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins two lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Vov Omid Beis. Note, we're beginning from the very bottom of Samach Vov Omid Beis. In our previous shiur, we learned the Mishnah that provided four rules regarding matters of pedigree, matters of yichus. The Gemara opens up with questions on these rules. The first piece of Gemara confronts, we'll say, the first rule taught in the Mishnah. So, what was that first rule taught in the Mishnah? And if any time a man and woman get together, get married, and there is no sin involved, namely, the marriage bond is formed and there's no sin involved, so the identity, the pedigree of the child will be that of the father. And the Mishnah gave an example, gave examples of what that is, and they mentioned a Kohenis Leviya Yisraelis that marries of their choice either a Kohen Levi or Yisrael. Let us say a Kohenes, a woman from a Kohen family, married a Yisrael, so the child takes on the identity of the father, namely he is a Yisrael, even though the mother is from a Kohen family. As we turn to the Gemara, we will notice a marking, a trapezoid or volcano shape, and on the side of the Gemara we indicate that these are kushios, these represent questions, al haklolim, on the rules, v'al hatshuvos, and on whatever answers that we give, mi mikre nisuim achirim. Questions from other kinds of, let's say, combinations of man and woman, and they will become readily apparent as we go through the Gemara how each case the Gemara presents represents a challenge. Now, the Gemara. Kol mokom shiesh kiddushin. Wherever there is a marital bond formed, we saw in the Mishnah, and if there's no sin, we said the child's identity will be that of the father's. A question. Omar le Rabbi Shimon le Rabbi Yochanan. There's a girsa that says that this Rabbi Shimon might be Reish Lakish, asks of Rabbi Shimon. Reish Lakish was Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Klolahu, is this really a rule? Is it a hard and fast rule? Where there is a marital bond formed and there's no sin, the child's identity will be like that of the father's. Hooray! Here we present a case. Ger shenosa mamzeres, a convert that married an illegitimate woman. Case of illegitimacy, we already saw how that comes about in the Mishnah, so we can, without getting into the background of how a mamzer comes to be, here you have a man who's a convert to Judaism, who marries a mamzeres, the yesh kiddushin vein avera, there is a marital bond that takes hold, and there is no sin. Havlad holech achar hapogun, the identity of the child will be like that of the individual, say, with the defect. In this case, the child will be a mamzer. And why? Because the mother is a mamzeres. And the sanyo, that's shown in the following source. Ger shenosa mamzeres, the very case we're dealing with, a male convert that marries a female illegitimate person, havlad equals mamzer, taking on the mother's identity, divrei Rabbi Yossi. So is this not a challenge to the rule in the Mishnah that wherever there is Kiddushin, there's no sin, the child takes on the father's identity? Omar Lay, Rabbi Yochanan responds, Mi Savris Mas Nisin Rabbi Yosihi, who is to say with certainty that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yosi Mas Nisin Rabbi Yudahi? Our Mishnah is authored, our Mishnah with its rules are authored by Rabbi Yehuda di Omar, who says, Ger Loi Yiso Mamzeres, that a convert shall not marry a Mamzeres. Oh, so you see it's prohibited. Well, then it's not part of the initial rule of the Mishnah. V'yesh tidushim v'yesh avera. Here's a case where there is a marital bond, but there's also a sin involved. Havlad holech achar hapogum. The child follows the mother's, or the one with the greater defect. And in this case, the mamzeres is the defect. And in fact, that's what we saw in rule number 2 of the Mishnah, that wherever there is Kiddushin and there's sin, the child follows the pogum. So the issue of Ger Shenosa Mamzeres doesn't present any problem. The Mishnah is authored by Rebbe Yehuda. The marking, by the way, that you see around Rebbe Yehuda, you'll see later, is around Rebbe Yossi, and there is a significance in this marking. Only the significance will be felt only later in the Gemara. So in the meantime, there's no question. Now we have a new question. Finisne. So why was it not taught in number 2? The number 2 rule of the Mishnah had accompanying it examples. This case of Ger Shenosa Mamzeres was not one of the featured examples. In our Mishnah, we saw Amono L'Kohen Godol, Gushachotzu L'Kohen Hedyot, Mamzeres in Israel, and the Bas Yisrael, Lamamzer Lenosin, but we did not see Ger Shenosa Mamzeres. The Gemara answers, Tana Kol Mokom DeSeifa Lasuye. The term Kol Mokom appeared in the Mishnah, in the Seifa means in the continuation of the Mishnah, as opposed to the very first case of the Mishnah, in number 2 of the Mishnah, we're referring to as the Seifa. It said, Kol Mokom, wherever there is a marital bond and there is also sin. So that expression of Kol Mokom includes, takes into consideration, in this case too, of Ger Shenosa Mamzeres. V'ibayas ima li'olam Rabbi Yosi hi. You know what? The Mishnah could be in accordance with Rabbi Yosi. Well, if it's in accordance with Rabbi Yosi, so then, here we have a case of Ger Shenosa Mamzeres not following the Zohar. And, as we said before, according to Rabbi Yossi, there's no sin in this kind of marriage. No problem. V'tana Eizozu. The Tana used the expression Eizozo. You can see that also in the Mishnah. In case number 2, when the in case number 1, where it described a case where there is Kiddushin, there is no sin. So the Vlad follows the Zohar, but which cases? And there's some Mishnah gave specific cases. To the exclusion of Ger Shenosa Mamzeres. That even though there is Kiddushin and there's no Avera, the Vlad will not follow the father. And that's what the expression of Eizozo comes to accomplish. It's a limitation expression, so that the rule is limited to these examples. And as we said, we're just repeating ourselves, that Ger Shenosa Mamzeres was not in the list of examples under rule number 1. Question. V'eizozu v'sulo. Are there not, in fact, other examples? We said that these are the examples, namely, a case of a Kohen, Levi Yisrael, Shenosa Kohenes, Levio Yisraelis. These are the examples where there is Kiddushin, there's no Avera, and the Vlad follows the Zohar. Are these the only examples, Vesulo, and no others? V'harei, Cholol Shenosa Bas Yisrael. The Cholol is the child of a Kohen who married a woman in sin, who married a divorcee, for example, which he's not supposed to have done. The child is a Cholol, and he is entitled to marry a Bas Yisrael. How do we describe this marriage? Diyesh Kiddushin, there is a marital bond that's formed. V'ein Avera, there's no sin in that marriage. Havlad Holech Achar HaZochar, the child that's born will be considered a Cholol. So the Mishnah, by teaching me, by stating Eizozu, fine, we saw that excluded the case of Gershon Osam Amzeres. And at the same time, you're telling me that only the stated examples are the illustration of rule number one. What about this? Could this not have been another illustration of rule number one? Ha lo kashya. This is no question. We will understand the Mishnah to be in accordance with Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda. The Mishnah follows Rabbi Dostoy's opinion, and the result of following his opinion is that the Vlad will not be like the Zohar. Let me read that again. Holo Kashya, Kereb Dostoy ben Yehuda Svirolei. Here you see that the Gemara doesn't elaborate. It must be that the Gemara assumes that we were familiar with Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda. The truth is that we saw it very recently on Daf Samach Daled. Rashi says, Kereb Dostoy Svirolei, Latana di Don di Omar. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Dostoy that says, Benois Yisrael mikvetar lechalolin. The Jewish women are like a rituarium with regard to halolim. What does that mean? The result is ubita kshera lakahuna. What we saw was a marriage of a halol who married a bas Yisrael. So the daughter that results from that is not called a halola. Rather, the daughter that's born from that is kshera lakahuna. Oh, so the child is not taking on the identity of the father. That's why it's not taught in the examples of those there where the child does take on the identity of the father. Question: V'hare Yisrael shenosa chalola deyesh kiddushin v'ein avira. A Yisrael, a man who married a woman who was born from a Kohen father that married a divorcee, so she's called a Chalola. There's nothing wrong in Yisrael marrying such a woman. There is a marital bond and there's no sin. Havlad Holech Achar HaZochar. The child born from that will be a Cholol. Correction. That's a mistake. That's a case where the child will follow the Zohar. The child has the din of Yisrael. Our mistake isn't such a big mistake, because when we classify someone as a cholol, the truth is that he takes on the rules of Yisrael. But for our purposes, a Yisrael that marries a cholola, the child is a Yisrael. So you have a case, another case of there's a marital bond and there's no sin, and the Vlad follows the Zohar. Why was that not taught? Tana, the Tana, kol mokim dereisha lasuye. The expression kol mokim that you saw in rule number one includes this case. Question, v'nisne behedya, why not state it explicitly? Answer, and you'll notice the answer takes a couple lines to develop. Mishum de lo masni law, because it won't fit into the scheme of the Mishnah in a totally accurate fashion. What do we mean by that? First of all, let's look at Rashi. V'nisne behedya, just a couple lines down from here. Gabi kehenes levi of Yisraelis. Why not teach, along with the case of kehenes levi of Yisraelis, teach the case of Yisrael shenosa chalola? Umishani, Rashi goes on, The Gemara answers, Mishum de lo masni lo. Eino nishnes lo letano im hashar beloshin kotzer. It won't fit in with the other examples in a concise, in a terse and accurate fashion. The name that would enable us to say, V'yezo, kohenes lo yisraelis, v'chalola, shenosu l'koyin l'levi v'yisrael. Because if you were to teach it like that, the mashma chalola nami l'koyin ein avera, and that's not true. So that's why it wasn't taught explicitly. And let's go back to the Gemara. We asked, why is the case of Yisrael Shenosa Halola not mentioned explicitly? And it's another example of the Vlad following the Zohar, following the father. Well, Heichinisni, how could we possibly teach it in the existing format of the Mishnah? Kehenes Ulavia Visraelis Vechalola. Shenises Lekain Levi Visrael. Should you teach it like that? Now notice we dashed underline one of the females, namely the chalala, and one of the males, the kohen. The chalala, the kohen, michazio? Is a chalala allowed to marry a kohen? Absolutely not. So it could not have been taught in the format of the Mishnah, as Rashi put it, in a terse, concise, accurate fashion. Question. Ve'iko de rabo bar bar chano? Is there not rabbos teaching? Diyoma Rabba Bar Baruch Hanama Rabbi Yochanan Mitzri Sheini Shenosa Mitzris Rishoina. Mitzri Sheini is a male, second generation Egyptian convert. In other words, this fellow's father was a Gentile Egyptian who converted to Judaism. His son is called a second generation Mitzri. Mitzri Sheini. Shenosa Mitzris Rishona, who married a woman who was herself Gentile from Egypt and converted to Judaism. She's called a Mitzris Rishona. This marriage is a legitimate marriage. There is Kiddushin, and there's no sin involved. And the result is Bina Shlishi Have. The resultant child is a third generation. He's called a third generation, which, according to the Torah, enables this son to marry a regular Jewish woman, rank and file Jewish woman. The Torah wants the Egyptian converts to wait three generations before they marry into the regular Jewish people. So, what do we see here? We have another example of there is Kiddushin, there's no sin, and the child follows the Zohar, and it was not taught in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, no problem. Tana, kol makom dereisha lasuye. The Tana used the expression kol makom in case number one to include this case where you have a marriage, no sin, and here, in fact, is another example where the child follows the father. In this case where the father was a second generation, so his offspring is a third generation. By classifying the son as a third generation, we're showing that we're not following the mother, we're following the father. So be it. The Mishnah didn't disregard this case. The Mishnah said, it's included in the Mishnah's expression of kol makom. Ulurav Dimi Diomar Sheni Havi. Rav Dimi has an alternative or an opposite approach to that of Rabba Bar Chana. Rav Dimi's approach is that the child is a Sheni. The child does not follow the Zohar. Okay. Tono Ezo Zu Limuti. So the Mishnah in case number one used the expression in Ezos, which are the examples where the Vlad follows the Zohar, so the Mishnah spelled them out to the exclusion of this case, which was, of course, not mentioned in the Mishnah, and it's being excluded. Question. Foiko de Chioso Rovin, Omer of Yochanan, is there not Rovin's teaching? And it's where he says, Be'umois, Haloch, Achar, Hazohar. Nisgairu, Haloch, Achar, Hapogum, Shibishneim. Amongst nations of the world, you follow the male. If amongst nations of the world you find conversion, they converted, and in such a case we'll say there is kiddushin, two converts marry, so there is kiddushin, there's no sin involved, yet the Vlad doesn't follow the father's identity, the father's status, or the father's classification. The child follows the pogum shebishneim. We will later in the Gemara have concrete examples of what is spoken of here, but what we want to emphasize is that the child is not automatically following the father, even though yesh kiddushin and ein avera. The Gemara says, all right, Tana ezozo demuti. The Tana used the expression in case one, ezozo, cases where there is kiddushin no anvera, and then it said, well, which cases are those? So it spelled out the cases to the exclusion of this. At this point, the Gemara is going to raise a question, but it's a question that's a throwback to the crowns that you saw above. We mentioned that the crowns would have significance for later in the Gemara. So what do we mean by the crowns that we have above? After raising a question, working with the assumption that our Mishnah is in accordance with Reb Yossi, so we raised a problem. The Gemara, in order to answer that, said our Mishnah is not in accordance with Reb Yossi, rather it's in accordance with Reb Yehuda. Later in the Gemara, just a few lines after that, when you encounter the second crown, the Gemara was saying, well, if you like, you can even say the Mishnah is in accordance with Reb Yossi. And we had raised the problem concerning Gershon, also Mamzeres, where the child is a Mamzer, and we're not following the Zohar. How can you set up the Mishnah like Reb Yossi? So we said the Ezozo came to exclude this example of Gershon Osa Mamzeres. We pick up the Gemara, and we note we have a long question ahead of us. Before we begin the Gemara text, we should also take advantage of our Nosei / Mivne heading that you see in the margin. Kol Mokom is highlighted with a diamond, and the expression Ezozu with also a diamond. HaGemara Tadun Be'ezim in Shtei Atshuvas Deliel. The Gemara will analyze which one of the two answers given above that we highlighted with our crown marking. Number one, Masnisin Rabbi Yehudahi. Number two, Masnisin Rabbi Yosihi. Which one of these two answers yesh lehadif? The fi'eza tana, according to which tana natzliach lehazbir hoifuas abitiim the chomokom ve'ezazu bereisha v'seifa. You notice that we've been making extensive reference to the role of the term chomokom and the term ve'ezazu. According to one of these two opinions, Reb Yehuda or Reb Yossi, we will be able to account for all the kol mokoms and ezozos of the Reisha and the Seifa. But according to the other opinion, you're going to find that we have a problem with accounting for all of those for the kol mokom and ezozo references in the Mishnah. Bishlamo Masnisin Reb Yehudahi. Things will work out better if we follow the approach taken above that our Mishnah is in accordance with Reb Yehuda, as opposed to the Eboyesema, the second approach taken above, which stated that the Mishnah could be even according to Reb Yossi. Why is it smoother to go along with Reb Yehuda? Just to remind us, Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that a ger is osir, is prohibited in marrying a mamzeres. And as a result, so the son, the child, follows the pogum, follows the mamzeres status, then becomes a mamzer. And that is in accordance with the second rule of the Mishnah. So following Rabbi Yehuda's approach, we can account for all the kol mokoims and the ezozos of the Mishnah. And here the Gemara goes over basically everything we had said before, earlier in the Gemara, as follows. Kol mokoim de resha lasuye Yisrael shenosa halola. The kol mokom of the resha will include the case of Yisrael shenosa halola, being an additional example of there is kiddushin, there's no avera, and the child becomes like the zohar, like the father, the child is Yisrael. And udarabo babarchano, and the kol mokom of the resha can include the rabo babarchano case. Notice we have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text references to where these appeared. So if you look at the star above, Rabba Bar Chana introduced Rabbi Yochanan and quoted Rabbi Yochanan speaking about the Mitzri Sheni that marries the Mitzis Rishona. There is a marriage bond, there's no sin, and the Vlad follows the father. The Vlad, the son, is a Shlishi. Very nice. So the Kol Mokom expression of the Reisha included that case as an additional case that the Vlad will follow the Zohar. Ezozo, the Ezozo expression, Lemute Duravdimi Verovin. Once again, we have references to where we saw this above. If you look above, you see there's a double star. That's the line in which Ravdimi appeared, that said that in the case of the Mitzri Sheni marrying the Mitzis Rishona, so the Vlad follows, the Vlad does not follow the Zohar, and the Vlad is a Sheni. So the Ezozo, even though there was condition, there's no Avera, this is an exceptional case. So the Ezozo expression of the Reisha excludes that as an example of following the Zohar. And what else could the Ezozo exclude? The Ravin teaching. The Ravin teaching had the case of amongst the nations of the world, if they convert, so the child, and so in a case like that where the Goyim convert from two different nations, there is Kiddushin, there's no sin, and the Vlad doesn't follow the Zohar automatically, so that is excluded by the Ezozo expression of the Reisha as well. We continue explaining how things work out all right for Rabbi Yehuda. The Kol Mokoim expression, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, the Kol Mokoim expression of the Seifa being a reference to the number two case of the Mishnah where there is Kiddushin and there is sin. The Kol Mokoim expression is coming Lasuye to include Ger Shenosa Mamzeres. Rabbi Yehuda's original teaching that in the case of Ger Shenosa Mamzeres, you have Kiddushin, but you also have sin. So the Vlad follows the Pogum. And the child is a Mamzer. So the Kol Mokom, even though that case wasn't taught in the Mishnah explicitly, it nevertheless, the Kol Mokom expression in rule number two includes that case. So Rabbi Yehuda fits in smoothly to the scheme of things. So that when, just to repeat the main point, the Kol Mokom of the Seifa has a role to fulfill. There is Kiddushin, but there's also a sin. And the Vlad is a mamzer, following the rule of number two rule of the Mishnah. Eloi Amris Reb Yossi he. If you're going to say that our Mishnah is authored by Reb Yossi, that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres, can we account for all of these expressions? So let's go over the expressions. Kol Mokom D'Reisha, Kedamoran. The Kol Mokom of the Reisha will include, as we said earlier, the Yisrael Shenosa Halola. The Ezozo, Kedamoran. And the Ezozo of the Reisha will exclude, like we said earlier, exclude Rav Dimi, exclude Ravin. Ela Kol Mokom D'Seifa L'Seyemai. There's a kol makom expression in rule number 2, which is designed to include some additional case other than that which is stated. Well, what's being included according to Reb Yossi? After all, the case of Ger Shenosa Mamzeres is not an example of Yesh Kedushin V'Yesh Aver, because according to Reb Yossi, that's a mutter marriage. So this is the seeming problem, and at this point you see we've reached the end of our question, how the mission is not so smooth according to Biosi, because we can't account for the kol makom expression of the seifa. What does it come to include? The Gemara responds, are you trying to tell me that it's not smooth to set up the mission like Biosi l'tameich, according to you, that it would have been better it's preferable to set the Mishnah up like Reb Yehuda? Well, the Reb Yehuda, Ezozo de Seifa Lomali, what does the Ezozo expression of the Seifa come to exclude? Nothing. We don't have any examples of Yesh Kedushin, the Yesh Avera, that won't follow the Pogum. So what is the role of Ezozo in the Seifa? It has no role. Elo, Aidi de Tona Reisha Ezozo, since at stage 1 of the Mishnah, it taught Ezozo. Tona Seifa, Ezozo, as common Tanaic style, for balance purposes, the Ezozo expression appears in the Seifa as well, even though there's no real exclusionary purpose behind it. So as far as your attempt to set the Mishnah up like Rabbi Yehuda as being the preferable way to go, you'll have to come on to this approach that say there is an expression that really doesn't have a formal role other than Mishnaic style. Well, by the same token, Hachinami, if we set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi, the same thing can be said. Aidi detona reisha kol makom, since the reisha used the expression kol makom, tona nami seifa kol makom, the seifa also uses the expression kol makom, even though there isn't an additional example to be included as yesh kedushin v'yesh avera havlan holecha achar hapogum. Gufa. This is now a quote from that which we mentioned earlier, and we didn't give examples, we didn't explain, but we have a reference back to what Ravin said. Gufa kiyosa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. 2 points. Aleph. Be'umois haloch achar hazochar. When it comes to the nations of the world, you follow the male. Nisgairu haloch achar apogum shebishneim. And when it comes to a case where there is a conversion amongst nations of the world and the couple marry as converted Jews, you follow the pogum shebishneim. You follow, in terms of identifying, establishing identity of the vlad, you follow the more deficient one of the parents. My ba'umois haloch achar azochar. What do you mean by that? And you notice we have a double underline. On the side of the Gemara we have an osei / mivne heading. The double underline highlights Dino Shurab Yochanan, number 1, Bumos Aloch Achar Zohar, and number 2, Nizgairu Loch Achar Apogon Shebishneihem. What do we mean by these rules? Give examples. Make it concrete. The Gemara will, in answering the question, Bumos Aloch Achar Zohar, will quote a Tanaic source. We should mention that this Tanaic source is found in several places in the Shas, and in addition we have triangles that will appear, and on the side of the Gemara we indicate Hadgoshas Shebo. the highlighting of the word Shabbat, that someone comes, Shnei Efshorios, two examples, two possibilities, Shel Taroives, Bein Shiva Umois, Im Shar Umois, Ben Nisoehem. The Shiva Umois are the seven nations that were occupying the land of Israel before the Jewish people entered. The Torah issues a command that upon entering the land, the seven nations are to be destroyed. We are not to accept converts from the seven nations, or in simple terms, the Torah instructs, the Almighty instructs them to, for the Jewish people, if those seven nations insist on remaining in the land, they're going to have to confront the armies of the Jews and be threatened with destruction. That's the basic rule concerning the seven nations who lived in the land of Israel at the time that the Jewish people took over the land. Other nations are other nations. The Jewish people pose no threat. There's no danger. There's no threat of war with the other nations of the world. The issue that is dealt with in this source is the possibility of acquiring one of these, we'll say, Gentiles as a slave. More specifically, we're going to be dealing with one of the members of the couple come from the seven nations, and the other member of the couple come from other nations of the world, and they have a child. Can you buy the child as a slave, or does his identity demand his destruction, i.e. he's defined as being from the seven nations? So we said a rule, Be'umos haloch achar hazochar. When it comes to matters concerning the nations, we follow the male. What? Now we continue in the source. Kedesanya minayin le'echod min ha'umos shebo al ha'knainis v'hoilid ben. From where do we know that if a member of one of the nations of the world, be it Japan, be it Korea, Australia, or any of the other nations of the world, that mates shebo al ha'knainis, has intimacy and produces a child with a Knainis. That's a female from the seven nations. Knainis is an umbrella expression referring to the seven nations who occupied the land of Israel. V'hoilid ben. And a child is born from that union. Sha'ato rashoi l'knoisi be'evid. You are allowed to buy him as a slave. In other words, his identity is that of the father, non-seven nation. From where do we know that? Talmud Lomar, V'gam mibnei hatoshavim hagorim imochem mehem tiknu. From this pasuk we learn that point. How do you see this in the words of the pasuk? Rashi deals with that, but we are not going to stop at this point for understanding that level of detail. Look in the Rashi by all means. Let us go on in the source. Yochel af haknaini shebo al achas min haumois v'hoilid ben shata rashoi liknoise be'evet. Could it be that if a male Canaanite, one of the seven nations, impregnates a woman from the other nations of the world and they produce a child, that you can buy that child as a slave? Not so. Talmud Loimar, Asher hoilidu ba'artzechem. The pasuk that speaks about the purchase of the child as a slave, it has to be a child asher hoilidu ba'artzechem, which means min ha'noilodim ba'artzechem, those that are literally speaking born in your land, but it means a man from one of the other nations that had relations with a Canaanite woman. from those you can buy as a slave. The term gorim ba'artzachem is a reference to a male Canaanite that had relations with a female from the other nations and produced a child. That offspring, the Jewish people are not allowed to buy, but rather it takes on the identity of the male, and who in that particular case is from the Canaanite peoples. Once again, the psukim cited here allude to the cases we just featured. How you see each one of the points in the words, that's something that Rashi elaborates on. However, but for our purposes, let us just repeat the main point, and that is that if a male Canaanite and a female from other nations produce a child, that child has the status of a Canaanite, and you cannot buy him as a slave. He's subject to being destroyed. If a female Canaanite produces a child with a man from the other nations of the world, that is, again, a case where we follow the male, and he does not have a Canaanite identity, and hence the child is one that you can buy as a slave. He's not under the mitzvah, under the command of destroying. Nisgairu halocha achar hapogum shebishnehem. The lashon of the Mishnah indicates that you're dealing with two nations. When conversion takes place, there is some kind of deficiency in the husband and in the wife. And the rule says the child's identity will take on that deficiency that has more problematic. That's a little abstract. Of course, we need some concrete examples. Bemai, what is this speaking about? A case of nisgairu alachor achar pogam shebishneihem. Ileimo b'mitzri shenosa amoynis. If it's a case where a Mitzri man marries a female Ammonite, both, of course, converted. My pogum ika. Regarding the mother, regarding the wife in this case, when we speak about mother, means they're gonna produce a child. So regarding the mother in this case, where is there a deficiency? What is she? She's a convert from the Ammonite peoples. Ammoniva lo Ammonis, the only one that's prohibited is the male Ammonite. He is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, but the female Ammonite certainly is allowed. And the most famous example of that is Ruth, Rut Hamoavia. Ela, so what's the illustration of a case of Nisgairu, Halalchach, or Pogam Shebishnehem? Ela Bahamoini, Shenoso Mitzris. An Ammonite man married an Ammonite man who converted to Judaism. He's not allowed to marry into the rank and file Jewish people, though. So who did he marry? He married a mitzris. She is prohibited. In other words, she cannot marry into the rank and file of the Jewish people. Only a third generation Mitzri convert could do so. So you have an Ammonite man, he has a problem in that he represents a permanent Isur, and the female Mitzris, she has a problem in so far as only the third generation can marry into the Jewish people. And this is the case of Nisgairu Halocha Achar Pogam Shebishneihem, and we now illustrate it. A child is born from this union. If the child is a male, so how do we classify the male? Shadye abasrei didei. He will follow the father, and the male will have the status of an Ammonite, an Ammoni. What does that mean? What ramifications does that have? Well, he won't be able to marry a Jewish woman. He is an Ammonite. V'im nekeva havya, and if the product of that union is a female, Shadya Abasro Dida. So then her identity will follow that of the mother. She'll be considered a Mitzris Sheni, because if you were to identify her in accordance with the father, so now you have an Ammonite, a female from the Ammonite people. She's allowed to marry into the Jewish people. By having the female offspring of this union of the Ammoni with the Mitzris, she takes on the Mitzris definition. She's only a Mitzri Sheni. She's not yet ready to marry into the Jewish people. Kol She'ein Lo Lov Kiddushin. The Mishnah had a rule that said if there is no marital bond formed between this woman and this particular man, Avol Yesh Lo Al Achirim, but this woman could have married someone else from the Jewish people, so then we said the child is a mamzer. Mino Hanimili. From where do we know that there is no kiddushin that takes hold in the case of Chayve Krisis, where the union between the man and woman results in a Kores penalty? The Mishnah had said that Rule 3 is illustrated by someone who has relations with one of the Arayas in the Torah, and we're adding one of the Arayas, one of the forbidden relations that carries with it a Kores penalty. And as such, in accordance with rule number 3, there is no Tfisas Kiddushin. So from where do we know that there's no Tfisas Kiddushin when you're dealing with Chayve Krisis? D'omer Rav Chiya bar Abba, Omer Rav Yochanan, Umotu Ba. Some have this presented in the name Mishum de Rav Yanai. For Rav Acha Brei de Rava Omar, Umotu Ba Mishum de Rav Yossi Aglili. Instead of Rav Yanai, so Rav Acha says that it was originally taught by Rav Yossi Aglili. Omar Kro. You notice a new marking, the crown shape, and on the side of the Gemara under the Nosender, the topic heading, Chipus Moker Shein Kiddushin Tovsin B'Chayv Krisis. We're seeking out a source, a scriptural source, that there is no marital bond when the union of the man and woman is a union that would be punishable by Kores. So the Pasuk says, Omar Kro, V'yotza Mibesoi V'holcha V'hoiso Li'ish Acher. This pasuk describes a man who divorces his wife, says she shall leave the man's house and marry ish acher, la'acherim, v'loy likrovim. She should marry an outsider, a stranger, not relatives, because her marriage to the relatives would not be a hoysa l'ish acher. The word hoysa implies that there is a marital bond. So the marital bond will be established only if it's achirim, an outsider, not relatives. Maskiflo Rabbi Abba, we have a new marking. The volcano or trapezoid shape is explained on site Kushyos. These are questions, Bederach Hatzois Chilufios, through raising alternative explanations. So Rabbi Abba says the word achir in the posuk, v'emo li'achir v'lo le'ben, maybe all it means is that there will be a marital bond provided she marries an acher and not her son, or I should say maybe not her husband's son. The Gemara says ben behedyuksiv be, regarding the husband's son, that is taught explicitly, lo yikach ish es eshes aviv. A person is not to marry his father's wife. And in this posuk, we have a man divorcing his wife. She, the divorcee, is not to marry that man's son. Well, there's a posuk that speaks about that very case, the posuk we just read. Achir lomali. What is the role of voiselish achir? What is that coming to exclude? Shma mino, it excludes lachir, v'lo l'krovim. She's considered married if she, after being divorced, she marries some outsider and not relatives. Question. V'eimo idi v'idi leben. Let us say that both psukim, the lo yikach ishes eshes of a posuk and the lachir posuk, is telling us about the prohibition of her marrying her husband's son. And you'll ask, what do I need two psukim for that? One pasuk is saying, well, as a first choice, you shouldn't choose to marry him. And the second pasuk is saying, it's like a 1-2 punch. And the second pasuk is saying, even post facto, it's not going to be a recognized marriage. So at this point, I don't have a source for other relatives as being cases of no tfisas kiddushin. The Gemara says to say that the two psukim are needed, one lechatchila, the other bi'eved, that's not so. Lechatchila, the prohibition of marrying the ben as a first choice, that's me'achos isha nafka. That is learned from the case of the prohibition of marrying one's wife's sister. There the pasuk says, lo sikach. There is no taking, there's no marital bond formed if a man marries his wife's sister. Uma achos isha bekores lo sikadesh. Mind you, a man marrying his wife's sister, the punishment there is kores. The kores punishment, there's no execution, court execution for that. Chayve misos bezden lo kol shekein. For example, the case of a son marrying his father's wife, that's all the more so, there would be no kiddushin. So as far as saying that both psukim lo yikach and the acher are for prohibiting a son marrying the woman his father divorced, that cannot be. So that the Achir is freed up for other relatives. Question. The Amo E-D-V-E-D B'achos Isha. Maybe the Pasuk of Lo Sikach that was taught in the context of prohibition of marrying one's wife's sister, and the Pasuk V'hoselish Achir, the Achir Pasuk, are both referring to the issue of Achos Isha. Ha lechatchila ha di'eved. One is telling me as a first choice you don't marry your wife's sister. And the second pasuk is telling me even if you do, there's no marriage that takes hold. But as far as other relatives, I don't know about them. The Gemara says, in hachinami, you know what? You're right. You can say both psukim are talking about Achos Isha. So we go on. Ashkechon Achos Isha. Shar Arayas Menolon. Where do you know other relatives? Ashkechon means we found sources that tell me about the marriage of a man with his wife's sister. There's no marital bond that takes place. What about other Arayas, other forbidden women, other forbidden relatives? Menolon. Answer. Yalfinon Me'achos Isha. I'll learn through what's called a binyanav method. This is called a logical comparison method. The binyanav is presented usually by the expression ma motzinu. What do we find by A? We can apply to B. What do we find by achos isha? Ma achos isha miuchedes shi'er vavachayovim als doino koreis v'al shigigoso chatos v'lo tafsi bo kiddushin. Let's look at all of the characteristics of achos isha. Well, she is unique in the sense that she's a forbidden relative. The violation of one marrying his wife's sister, if deliberate, is punishable by koreis. If unintended, obligates the offender to bring a sin offering, and there is no tfisas kiddushin. The Pasuk said lo sikach. There's no bonding. So any other forbidden relative that has these characteristics, afkol she erva, v'chayoven als doinikos shagil zechatos, the result will be what we're looking for: lo tafsi bo kiddushin. There'll be no taking hold of creation of a marital bond. Well, that's exactly what we've been looking for. That all arayas that are punishable by kores, there's no tfisas kiddushin. The Gemara raises a question. You'll notice we have a long question marking. Bishlama kulhu asyan. You know what? Things are right. Bishlama, fine, regarding most of the other forbidden relatives in the Torah. However, we're going to be left with problems if you're going to use the Achos Isha method of establishing all arayas. Elo eshes ish, v'eshes ach, ikol lemifrach. There are two cases of arayas that do not pattern Achos Isha. What are the two cases? Eshes ish, a man trying to marry a woman that's currently married to another man. That's called eshes ish. And the other case is a man trying to marry his brother's wife. Now, you'll say, brother's wife, that's an example of eshes ish. Isn't that redundant? No. Brother's wife is forbidden in the case that a man's brother died and he had children. The surviving brother cannot marry his brother's widow. Of course, don't confuse that with the case of Yibum. Yibum, where one marries, where a brother-in-law and sister are married, that's only a case where there were no children from the deceased brother. So Eshes Ach is a forbidden relative. And these two cannot be derived from Achos Isha. Why not? Ma l'Achos Isha shekein ein lo heter b'mokoi mitzvah. Let us imagine for a moment, you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, are married to two sisters. Reuven is married to Leah, Shimon is married to Rachel. Two brothers married to two sisters. Reuven dies, leaving a widow, Leah. No children, though. Does Shimon do Yibum? No, because Shimon marrying Leah would be marrying his wife's sister. Shimon's married to Rachel. So, Achos Isha is a type of erva that does not have any heter b'mokei mitzvah. Even though you have a Yibum scenario where the deceased brother left no children, there's no mitzvah in marrying. It's prohibited. Toimar b'yeshes ach, sheyesh lo heter b'mokei mitzvah. The prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife is not such a far-reaching prohibition. One can marry one's brother's wife when the deceased left no children. So the surviving brother marries the widow. The widow, who's the widow? His brother's wife. So you can't derive the idea of no tfisas kiddushin in the case of Eshes Ach from the case of Achos Isha. Another problem. Eshes Ish nami yikol mifrach. The case of Eshes Ish cannot be derived from Achos Isha either. What's Eshes Ish? A married woman. Why is that so, that Eshes Ish cannot be derived from Achos Isha? Ma lahanoch sheken ein lo heter b'chay oisron. Achos Isha, for example. We say that a man cannot marry his wife's sister. What prevents that wife's sister from being from the man marrying her? The wife, as long as the wife is alive, you cannot marry her sister. So that's what the expression means: ein lo heter b'chaye oisron. As long as the prohibiting factor is alive, you can't marry the erva, the arayas, the achos isha, the sister of your wife. Toimar b'yeshes ish. We speak about a married woman. What makes a married woman usher? Her husband, the fact that she's married to a man. Is this woman, the married woman, is she usher to a second man as long as the husband is alive? That's not true. What about a divorce? Toimar b'yeshes ish, yesh lo heter b'chay osran. The case of eshes ish, that forbidden marriage, namely that a man is prohibited marrying a married woman, that prohibition does not continue as long as that married woman's husband is alive. If that married woman's husband divorces her, he might remain living. But the woman that we described as Eishes Ish, is allowed now to be married by another man. So you see that there is an element of leniency by Eishes Ish, more so than Achos Isha. So how will I derive these two examples, Eishes Ach and Eishes Ish, as being forbidden women, and if a man comes along and tries to marry them, there is no kiddushin? I won't be able to derive it by logical comparison to Achos Isha. Elo Omer Rav Yoina V'Itamer Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua Omer Kro. The Pasuk tells us. What's interesting in this is that we're going to be coming back to Achos Isha, but not through logical comparison. We're not exercising our own logic. When you exercise your own logic through methods of Torah derivation, for example, the Binyan Av method we referred to before, that's application of logic that can be refuted, as we just demonstrated. There are other forms of hermeneutics where you don't rely on logic, but rather a oral transmission, an oral tradition. One of those methods is called a hekish. A hekish literally means a comparison, a scriptural comparison, not a logical comparison, as we'll see very shortly. It says in the Parsha of Arayas, it says, Kol asher yaseh mikol ha-toyevois ha-ele v'nichrisu. Anyone who follows these, anyone who marries, who has intimacy with any of the forbidden women, are going to be subject to kores. Now, amongst the list of toevos is achos isha. So all the different toevos are compared to achos isha. Achos isha being one of the examples. And in the case of achos isha, the pasuk said specifically or explicitly, it said lo sikach. There is no bonding. There is no likuchim. There is no marital bond. So we can say as follows: hukshu kol arayas kulam achos isha. All other forbidden relatives are compared scripturally to the case of achos isha. Ma achos isha lo tafsi bo kiddushin, just like one who tries to marry his wife's sister, there's no marital bonding. Af kol arayas kulam, so to all the other forbidden relatives listed in the Torah, lo tafsi bo kiddushin, there will be no marital bonding. Hi-hachi. Well, if this is going to be the source that all those prohibited to the tune of Kores, there is no marital bonding between them, we continue at the top of Daf Samaches. Afilu Nido Nami. Nido is a woman experiencing her female monthly cycle, the menstrual cycle. A man who has intimacy with a Nido is punishable by, you guessed it, by Kores. Let us say a man offers money to a woman who's in the middle of her nida period. She's in the middle of her female period. And he says, well, take this money and be married to me. And she agrees to it. Is there a marital bond that's formed? Yeah, there is. There is a marital bond that's formed. And that's illustrated by what the Gemara is going to say very shortly, that there is no mamzerus from that. The Gemara, let's now read this in the Gemara. Afilu nido nami. If you're going to say that we are makish all arayas to the case of achos isha, and nida is in that category, is in that parsha, so you'll have to say the same thing. If a man is makadesh a single woman who's a nida, there will be no kiddushin. Well, Aloma Omar Abaye Hakol Moidim Bebala Nida Vala Soito Shein Avlad Mamzer. Everyone agrees that one who has intimacy with a Nida or a Sota. A Sota is a case of a man whose wife fell under suspicion of having had intimacy with another man. The husband brings her to the Beis HaMikdash, and there's an entire Masechta that was learned not long ago in the Daf Yomi cycle called Sota. If a man who is prohibited to have relations with his wife while she's under suspicion, while she's a Sota, let's say a man violated the rule and he had relations and they had a child. That's the case of Bala Sota. The child is not a mamzer. But what are you going to say in light of the fact that you suggested that all arayas or all toevos are compared to achos isha? If that's the case, then the bo alanida should be the same. There is kores that we know. The vlad should be a mamzer, and yet we say no. Omar Chizkiya, Omar Kro. Chizkiya tells us that there is a specific pasuk that tells us by nida, vatehi nidasa olav, which means afilu b'shas nidasa te bo havaya. Even when she is experiencing the nidus, the menstrual flow, a marriage will take hold. There will be a marital bond formed. We didn't mention earlier the specific psukim, but do note that the hekish of all arayas to one another is Vayikra Perek Yudches Pasuk Chavov, which appears toward the end of the parsha of arayas. The reference to Achos Isha is in Vayikra Perek Yudches, that same Perek, Pasuk Yudches. The reference to Nida is Pasuk Yudtes. Once you say that all the arayas are compared to Achos Isha, why not the Nida? So we answered, because in the case of Nida, there's a special pasuk, Vatihi Nidasolav, which means that even though she is a Nida, there the marital bond does take hold. With regard to Achos Isha, the pasuk used the expression Lo Sikach. It says Isha El Achosa Lo Sikach. But the lo sikach meant there is no marital bond. The nida, there's specific reference to the contrary. So that's why we can still maintain our source as the hekish tachos isha, and nida does not represent a question. Michti, let's look into this matter. Regarding the Hekish of Rabbi Yoina at the bottom of Samach Zayin with Beis, where he said that all the Arayas are compared to Achos Isha. Yeah, but in that same Parsha, you see Nida referred to. So the Gemara asks, Iko la'akusha l'nida, v'iko la'akusha l'achos Isha. Regarding all the other forbidden relatives listed in that section of the Torah, in Vayikra Perek Yudches, you could compare them to Nida, you could compare them to Achos Isha, you can go this way or that way. My chosis de makshis lul Achos Isha, aksha l'nida. What is it that you see fit to compare all the arayas to Achos Isha and conclude that there is no tefisas kiddushin, there's no marital bond that's formed between a man and the other forbidden relatives? Why not compare all the other forbidden relatives to the Nida and say there is a marital bond that would be established? The Gemara answers, Kula v'chumra, where you have two paths, one leniency, one stringency. L'chumra makshinon, will compare the unknown, the other arayas, to the path of stringency. The result being, the vlad will be a mamzer because of there being no tfisas kiddushin. Hence, the comparison of the shar arayas to the case of Achos Isha and not to the case of Nida. As you can see, the sugya continues. The next name appears in a crown marking, so that we're continuing ours with a, well, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov presents another approach to a source that there's no kiddushin by Chayvei Krisus. Mirza Shem in our next shir, so we'll pick up with that. In the meantime, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.